get into God's word. Are you ready? Lisa was the only one. Lisa, are you ready? Church, are you ready? Let me just ask you this. How many here need some joy? How many need a shot of joy? Amen. Stand with me for a shot of joy, will you? I'm just going to read a portion of scripture to you from Nehemiah. One verse, it'll be up there on the board. It's Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And all you people who are historic Bible study people, you're going to understand this. And you already know this incredible scene story, but I'll summarize it. But here it is. I want you to see it. Oh, it's right here. Nehemiah, and he said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Listen, and send portion to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow. Come on, somebody got to help me with this. Read the last words. Listen. We're four. One, two, three, ready? For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, give a big joy shout this morning. Hallelujah. I leave that up for a minute because I want to talk about that for a minute. But let's just pray. Lord, pray for a powerful anointing. God, let us release some of the burdens we carry. Infuse us and fill us with the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, can everybody say amen? Here's the title, The Power of Joy. Say that with me. Say it loud, The Power of Joy. Tell your neighbor you got the joy. Amen? And you may be seated. You may be seated. I like this. It just hit me. You know, check this scripture out. Because I think God's telling us today that we need to celebrate for what God did on the boardwalk of Jones Beach. Come on. It's time for some sweets, some steaks, and some fat juicy meat. Come on, somebody. So I want to share this message real quick. I don't want to, you know, there's so much to share. I might have to use the Holy Land. Amen? And so what happened was the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed. They were burnt down and so forth. And this particular day, as Nehemiah is observing the wall, he is so grieved. His heart breaks for Jerusalem. Remember Jesus? When he broke and he had compassion, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, may I take you as a mother hen unto me, weeping for Jerusalem. Remember that? Nehemiah, what we call it, an archetype of Jesus Christ at this scene. And he's weeping for Jerusalem. And his spirit could find no rest until he returned to his roots and lay his hand on the task of building the wall. Something came in him. Now, his spirit literally was just infused with power, with might, with a mission that he couldn't let go. And so, now understand what he wanted to do. When we talk about the walls, walls represent the strength, the fortitude, the security of an established city. No matter where you were, and it was established, they had walls of protection. The walls were beaten down. Everything else was insecure. And Jerusalem was insecure. And so the walls brought protection. It protected their culture, their tradition, and even their Jewish laws. And you know, it's so awesome to see when there is an issue in life, and somebody stands up like a David Wilkerson, amen? And he sees the drug problem that's happening all over the world. This little skinny preacher. And he just goes in the street and he begins to preach to a Nicky Cruz, who is a knife-cutting, crazy, lunatic Puerto Rican. Just like my wife. No, I'm kidding. My wife's Puerto Rican. And stands in front of Nicky Cruz as Nicky Cruz curses him out, threatens to kill him, and says, I'll cut you up with my knife. And listen, Nicky Cruz was a knife cutter. He was crazy. And David Wilkerson had a burden in his heart, had a fire in his heart, had a power in his heart. And Nicky said, I'll cut you up if you keep preaching that gospel. And David Wilkerson, you'll hear this to me for the rest of my life, said this famous phrase, Nicky, you can cut me up into 1,000 pieces, and every one of those pieces will cry out, I love you. Come on, that's the call of God in your life that you can't give up. And you know the rest of the story. Nikki got saved and born again, couldn't understand how somebody could say, I love you. And today we have 1,600 Teen Challenge programs all over the world. And there's a bunch of us that went through that program. Come on, somebody, and got saved and born again. So that's Nehemiah. So, but I want to share this with you because don't miss this. He had a burden, he had a revelation to rebuild Jerusalem. And he took ownership. Someone say ownership. And so Nehemiah took ownership. But let me get back. Today's message really isn't about building the walls. And I'm going to get into that. God just pounded me. Great message I'll share about building the walls. But I really want to share today is about the joy. You know, that's my message. It's about you and I and how the enemy, you'll see in this story, tries to steal our joy. But how many here know what Nehemiah said? He said this, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Can you give God a big shout? Amen? I'm going to say it again because I'm speaking to all of us and especially to me. And I'll share this with you. I'm going to say it again. Say it with me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. I need to hear that. Amen. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, it says that you'll see that Satan stole their joy right off the bat by destroying the walls. Right off the bat, it says that the walls were broken down. And the children of Israel are crying out. And here's what they say in verse 1. They tell Nehemiah this. The survivors who are left from the captivity of the providence are there in great distress and reproach. And here's something I want to share with you. I was sharing it inside the cafe talking. On a driving here, we're talking about, you know, what is the biggest issue? What do Americans face? Even the millennials and the young people, you know what they face? They face depression and distress. So do us adults. Say amen. Amen? They really do. We buy more medicine than any country in the world, and most of our medicines are mind-altering drugs for people that are in depress and under distress. And I want to tell you here today, I got a message for all of us. The joy of the Lord, your strength. Give your neighbor a high five. Tell him that's right. Amen. So listen to this. The Jerusalem walls were broken down. The gates were burned with fire. But don't miss this. Here's what Nehemiah's response. Check this out. It says this in verse 4. So it was, Nehemiah saying this, when I heard these words, that I sat down, I wept, I mourned for many days, I fasted, and I prayed. And that's another message. I don't have time to get into that. But there's really seven things Nehemiah did when he captured a burden for God. Amen? And I mentioned five, but let me tell you what the sixth one is. He's got up. And number 7, he went forward and began to do and fulfill the mission God has called for you. I want to tell you here, God has a mission. The devil wants to stop it. The devil wants to slow you down. But I want to tell you, you're in church today and the Holy Spirit is here and he wants to fill you with power, strength, and joy. So we go out there and rock the world for Jesus. Come on, somebody. That's what our church is all about. Amen. And that's what we're doing. Right, Pastor Pat? Come on. I like that song. Ain't no stopping us now. Easy. It's a secular song, Barry. Knock it off. Not in this holy home. So God's doing something fresh in our lives, you know? So he mourned, fasted. Now, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Remember that. That to be a cupbearer, you have to be extremely tested, vetted. Nothing like we to just get a job. When I became the CEO for Habitat for Humanity about 2 years ago, thank you, Daniel. Daniel initiated that. Amen. What a wonderful tour and time that was in a season for my life. They vetted me. And they vetted me for 50 days. I was scared. I don't know what they were doing. I gave my social security number, the phone number. And then I said, then they're vetting my credit. I was thinking, man, I've been late on my American Express bill because I was having a rough time. I said, I even called the chairman. I said, listen, I don't know what's going to come back on my number or whatever. But it came back 700, which was cool. I don't know how that happened. Anyway, they hired me. Amen. And so, but this was way different. When you're the, you understand this? When you're the king's cupbearer, you are sipping the wine before he takes it because they're trying to poison him. You are chosen. So Nehemiah was loyal. The king had favor on Nehemiah. So Nehemiah's weeping in his heart. King checks out Nehemiah because he knows Nehemiah. He said, what's heavy in your heart? And he shared his heart. He said, the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. And because of Nehemiah's loyalty, don't miss this, and his faithfulness and his integrity, the favor of God came upon his life. And it was almost like King Artie basically said, whatever you need, you got it. What do you want to do? And he told him, please let me rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And King Artaxerxes said, yes. Amen. And what does that speak to us today? When we're faithful, when we're consistent, when we're trustworthy, and we're loyal, God will bless you with favor and position you to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. Amen. So listen to this. So Nehemiah shares his vision, and he gets the okay, and he starts and he goes out, and he begins to build the walls, and the building program starts. And I know I built a church. We built a church, a couple churches, but a Freedom Chapel. I remember how it was with Freedom Chapel, because during Nehemiah's building program, listen to this, during your building program, come on, Daniel, you know the deal, amen. Daniel and Andrew was so proud of them, just like Alex. They're this big. We raised them up, right, Barry? And now they're presidents of companies, and they're rocking over there at a Boulder Mac Park with a mega, mega basketball camp for youth. And then second night they were there, an altercation happened. They had to shut it down. It's like the enemy came in. But God's doing it. They're there today. Amen. God's blessing you. But just like when you want to do something powerful, when you want to step out in faith, you want to be used by God, how many here know that the devil sends you those haters? Does anybody here have a few haters in your life? Don't raise your hand, just blink. Stop looking at Pastor Pat. You know the deal, right? No matter who's it, I was a pastor, especially with Teen Challenge. I don't even know some of the guys. I tried, and they'll come up and they'll go, Pastor Jimmy, forgive me. I go, for what? He goes, man, I just hate you. I said, I'm sorry, what I do? You're willing to do anything. I just hate you. I said, okay, but I love you now. I don't even know them, and I got haters, amen? But anyway, so here's what takes place. During their building program, the haters, the doubters, and the betrayers come. Can I say it again? The haters, the doubters, and the betrayers come. Anytime you're trying to move, especially in the kingdom of God, it's almost like if you want to go over here and start some, you know, crazy bar or this and that. It's like sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, green light. But when you want to move to do something powerful for the kingdom of God, to help people, there's always haters and betrayers to discourage you. Come on, we rebuke that in Jesus' name. Come on, we ain't letting them out. Nobody's controlling us but God. So, now, Nehemiah's haters, check this out, were Sanballat and Tobiah. I don't have time to read the story. Those were the other governors. And check this out. I had to tell you this. So Nehemiah goes to us, King Artie, and he says, can you write letters? So he gets letters of approval. He gets building permits. Are you with me? And then he sends them to the other governors. Well, they're envious. They don't like, and there's always people who are envious. We call them the Sanballats and Tobias. Somebody you know, if you know the word, you know what I'm doing. So in the middle of the building program, Satan sends his haters to try to steal Nehemiah's joy. Now, Tobiah, he sends a message out to Nehemiah and the children of Israel in chapter 4, verse 3. Watch what he says. He says this, whatever they build, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone walls. Now, doesn't that sound ridiculous? Doesn't it? How many here know you can hear one word and you've heard one little word years ago and it affected you? One word. Amen? Someone comes up, they go, boy, you're gaining weight. You'll never forget that person for the rest of your life. Especially if they ask you if you're pregnant, you ain't. Barry does that all the time. I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying? One word. One word. One word. One word. One word. But listen, know this. that God will speak a beautiful word in your heart. You might expect daddy or mommy to come by, but the Lord will do it through somebody else. And I say this to you, you are beautiful, anointed, and good job. Well done, my good and faithful brethren. Come on, that's every one of you. I don't know if we're going to get to this joy thing, but we'll try to get there. Here we go. So Satan sent his boys with discouraging word against Nehemiah. It affected them. It really did. And it attacked their faith. It attacked their spirit. How many know it does this? It attacks our spirit. It attacks our emotion. And it attacks your family. But ultimately, you know, Satan's job is what? To attack the kingdom of God through you. Where's the kingdom of God? How many know where the kingdom of God? Someone say, it's right here. Jesus said, it's not there. There. The kingdom of God is within. God gives you a message to do and build. You are building the kingdom of God if the kingdom of God is in you. Come on, somebody. Let's get building. Hallelujah. So don't miss this. So tax his faith. No, so just as Satan used Sanballat and Tobiah to attack, he also tries to steal all of our joy. But let me give you a little backdrop on the reason why Nehemiah declared the joy of the Lord is your strength to his leaders. Now, understand this. Nehemiah took this task on, and we took this task on as well when we built our church. He took on the 52-day mural. He didn't take it on. But Nehemiah, through the attacks, a miraculous feat, he finished the walls in 52 days. Do you understand that's not even 2 months? Are you with me? They don't have bulldozers. They don't have cranes. What they had is the power, wisdom, and unction of the Holy Ghost. What does that tell you and I? That God put that in there with numbers to let you know that nothing is impossible with God. Don't give up. Keep building. Keep pushing. And keep moving forward in Christ. Hallelujah. What a miracle this is. Now in chapter 8, now understand this, because it was just like me and Barry and some of us, because I don't know about you, but on Friday morning, Pastor, I couldn't move. I didn't think about even calling Joanne until yesterday. I said, shoot, I didn't even thought. I told you though. I felt so, we were wiped out. Amen? Now here's my point. Because in chapter 8, they were so exhausted, the children of Israel. They were so tired that the enemy got in again. Now think of this, a 52-day miracle, an absolute miracle. And the enemy tries to come in and still steal your joy to block you from the revelation of what you have accomplished, what you have done, to nullify what you have done. But here's the good news. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when you have the joy of the Lord, you get the revelation. Whoa! Look what the Lord has done. Come on, somebody! We were like, finally, when we woke up on Friday, we were like, what happened last night? We were like, whoa, come on, somebody. God moved miraculous. Let me try to get into this. I'm sorry, I just felt led to go into Nehemiah, you know, because we just want to understand. I tell people back in the day and still today, and especially new believers, that the enemy will try to, when you get baptized, and I know who they are, I know where they come from because I've been there. I say, listen, be careful because you just got blessed and the enemy wants to steal your blessing. Amen? That's why, what does Nehemiah say? Build a wall. Someone say, build a wall. Build a wall. When I first got baptized, I have a picture in our office. I'll show you, Pastor. It was at Pastor Joe's church, Joe Cedric's church, somebody's pool. Got baptized that day. Me, Larry, I forget who, Huey, I think, and so on. And we were all crazy. We just, you know, Diane has such, you know, Diane has that strong will, so we had to go. I was like, let's try anything if water can do it. And I ended up in New Jersey for 3 days out of my mind, almost died after my bad. The devil stole my joy. But thank God, come on, somebody. God got a hold of me again. Amen? So here, let me get into the fruit of the Spirit now. Just hang on. We'll talk a little more about this. Listen, let me take you to the New Testament. Because we just looked at Nehemiah about joy. Talks about joy. Now I want to look at Apostle Paul's joy. Okay? So we're in Galatians 5:22. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, let's see, look at them. They're good back there. Look at these two. Come on. Look at these two back there. Serving the Lord. Thank you so much. Michael and Janai. So here it is. Look at it right here. Galatians 5:22. There's a but there because there's other stuff that Paul said. I won't get into it. About the flesh and about the and all that good stuff. Not good stuff, bad stuff. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A little footnote that I believe it was led by the Holy Ghost for God to speak and to be inspired, Holy Spirit, Paul, by saying love first, the bookend, self-control at the end. Come on, somebody. Love and self-control. When you have love and the Holy Spirit, self-control, you can manifest all the other fruit. That's another teaching. But look at the word joy. Someone say joy. So note this. Don't miss this. Because if anybody in the Bible ever experienced joy killers, and especially in the New Testament, it was Apostle Paul. Am I right? I don't know any other other leader in the New Testament that went through what Apostle Paul went through. And all the way through. Philippians, he talks about joy. And he's in a jail. You understand? So understand this, because Paul writes in Romans something unbelievable. And I'll try to bring this home real quick. He said this in Romans. I'm jumping from Galatians. Now, Paul writes something to the church of Rome. So don't miss Galatians, because I'll come back to that. He writes this, and don't miss this, and I call it Romans the Great Eight. And he writes this around verse 30 or 32 or 33. It might be 35. I think it's 35. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Right? I don't know if you have that scripture. I'm not sure if we put that up there. Romans. Did I give you Romans chapter 8? I think I did. So it's okay. Listen to what it says. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, stop. Time out. These are joy killers. What I'm about to share, and I don't have time, I might just go over. These are joy. Paul puts down joy killers. Are you with me? You're not seeing. Oh, there they are. There it is. Good job. So look, these are joy killers. What shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. That encompasses everything. The enemy. That's the arsenal of the devil to steal your joy. To stop you from the kingdom of God. But isn't that incredible that Paul lays them out? And so just to understand, tribulation literally means this: troublesome burdens that cause anguish. All right, distress. Let me give you this: a depressing spirit, narrowness of place. Persecution, life-threatening danger and calamity. Famine, spiritual bankruptcy and financial fears. Nakedness, insecurity and shame. Peril, slander, mocking and betrayal. Sword, a spirit of condemnation and guilt. How many here know what I'm talking about? And this is what Paul wrote down for us. What shall separate us from the love of God? Has the nerve to throw this stuff up there. We're like, yeah, yeah. How many here can identify with every one of those? Probably all of us. I'm like, I hope there's a solution and we'll come to that. So these are Satan's arsenals used to attack and discourage the follower of God and hinder their ordained purpose for God's kingdom in the book of Romans. You got to understand this. And we'll get back to Paul's conclusion in Romans 8 on the attacks from hell. Now, in the book of Galatians, going back, Apostle Paul, he focus on the power of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm jumping a little, but don't miss this. You got to understand, because fruits of the Spirit overcome those attacks. They overcome those attacks. And you got to understand that. Now, let me read it again, but you don't have to put it up there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So, in other words, when you're manifesting in the fruits of the Spirit, there's no law. Do you understand? We're not under law. What are we under? Spirit. Are you getting that? You don't have to worry about getting busted. Right after what happened? Right after the concert, we're coming down Ocean Parkway, and we got the minibus. I got the Tahoe, and Dominique's following us in her minivan. and we're strolling through, and halfway through, on the right, is a car parked. You can see his little lights on with the radar. Guess what? I didn't have to look in my rearview mirror. You want to know why? We were in the spirit at 40 miles an hour. Come on, somebody. Thank God for Barry. He drives like grandma. I would have got a ticket if it was me. I'm just kidding. No, but we were. We just slid about. But you don't have to worry about the cop doing radar. But how many know here, when you're in the flesh and you are going 79 miles an hour and 55, you're going to steer in that rearview mirror to see if that cop is going to pull out and bust you, because you are under the law. Come on, we ain't under the law. We're under the Spirit. So that's what the fruits of the Spirit does. It empowers you to live this crazy, ungodly life. Amen? And so just note that. So now, because we're not under the law, we're in the Spirit. You know, let me overemphasize this. Don't miss this. The fruits of the Spirit. Oh, that's not it. But it's all right. Don't kill it. But the fruits of the Spirit, don't miss this, are not human gifts. Are you getting this? It's not a character development. Of course, they come with good discipline of righteousness, walking with God. Don't miss this. The fruit of the Spirit are not human gifts. They're supernatural gifts from the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen? I need them in this crazy world. Now, let me bring this home. I'm going to come right home. Give me 5 more minutes, please. God is giving us His gift of the Spirit to live in a corrupt, ungodly society. Are you hearing me? I mean, does that make sense? It really does. Think about it. The fruit, listen, the first fruit God gives us is the fruit of the Spirit, love. And then joy. Now watch this. Because the love from God produces the joy from God. Are you with me? Amen. I like that. The love from God produces that. So when you got the love, you got the joy, and you're walking in the supernatural, not in the law of flesh. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now watch this. This is why Paul said, check this out in Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God, you ready for this? Is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. Someone say joy in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you're getting this. You got to understand, when I yell, it means I'm just, now you're not giving me enough. Come on, I'm just kidding. So here it is. I'm telling you, I'm going to bring it home, because I just got to bring it home. You ready? Here it is. Listen, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Now, can we just take a minute? Listen, here's our reality. We have a country that is divided. We live in a society that declares evil is good and good is evil. Politicians are polluted, and political parties are more divided than ever. Racism is still exists in our society. There's no law and order. Stealing is going on. People just go into stores, just steal, get away with it. Violent sex and drugs are in the street. No one has rights, yet everyone demands rights. You cannot express your opinions or your convictions without being labeled a racist or a liberal or for now. Listen, can I give you some joy truths? Government, politicians, and political parties or the economy do not define me or you, our attitude. It will not dictate our convictions, whether you love or hate President Trump or can't trust our government. I got good news for you. Jesus is the Supreme President, CEO, Chairman of the Board. You can trust him and he'll always come through. Hey! Oh my goodness, that's enough. Stand with me. Let's pray. God is good. God is good. Oh, thank you, Lord. I might have to just go part two on this. I think so. That was the introduction, by the way. How many here need the joy of the Lord? So I do want to say this to you. Because you know, I have 4 things. Throw them up there real quick with me. You can throw the end. That end piece at the end, you know, I told you. Maybe they'll all fit in one little slide. You can just get worship team, come on up. I just want to share this. But in any case, just four, here it is. The four at the very end has a title and 4 points. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll give them to you. and we'll go over them later. Number one, the joy of our salvation. Jesus came. If you're right, why did Jesus come? The joy. Oh, there it is, joy of our salvation. Number two, do you have number two up there? Let's see if they got that. Number two is the joy being a covenant as a child of God. You have a covenant of joy as a child of God. I have scriptures that back that up. Number three, the joy of restoration. Right? David, restore me. Right? And you know, and I'll share later. I won't hold that up. I won't hold that up. Number four, the joy that overcomes discouragement. That's where Nehemiah came down and really blew it apart. Amen? But here's what I want to share with you. Apostle Paul said something like this. He said this. What shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? You remember the arsenal, and I'll repeat it. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Isn't it good that that's not the end? Paul didn't stop there! Exclamation point! I'm sorry, boys, you're on your own. He said this. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Watch this. What does that mean? When we die to self, Christ comes in. And Paul says this, yet in all things we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. Give him a big shout. I want to pray. For all of you, I want you to just get ready to come up and we pray as a church. Really, you don't have to, but if you want, I want to pray for that joy. It is a power. Think about it. All the other fruits are cool. Kindness, long-suffering, and everything else. But it's that joy. That's what the devil wants. He gets the joy. He almost gets all the fruits of the Spirit. He gets that joy. You can still say, I love God all your life, and you will. You can walk around with that fruit of the Spirit, maybe the others. But the devil wants to steal that joy. And I want to tell you, I need this more than you. In fact, for 3 years, I wept and cried. 4 years, 5 years, I wept and cried for Psalms 51, verse 8. Psalms 51, verse 8. I'll read the first part of it to you. And here's what it says. It's just so incredibly powerful. He said this in Psalms 58, verse 8. Lord, bring back the joy in the bones you have broken. Bring back the joy in the bones you have broken. And where you have to get, and I've shared this, when you're broken, you can become bitter or you can become better. If you're broken and your eyes are on man, you're only become bitter. But no matter who broke you, how you got broken, self-brokenness, the gas station guy broke you, somebody betrayed you. When that heart is broken, when you get your eyes off of whoever, get your eyes on Jesus, he blesses your heart. Come on. I want to pray for you now for the joy of the Lord. How many of you say, I need prayer, Pastor? Raise your hand. Come on. Come on up. Just come up. Whoever needs prayer, just come up. Let's pray together for the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Your name stands above them all.
Hallelujah.
All thrones and dominions, all power and positions. Your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy,
hallelujah.
Holy forever. Oh, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever.
Life is tough. You know, but Jesus is tougher. And he's still awesome. We just want to pray for all of you. Not sure where all of you are at with the Lord. All you need to do is repent. Jesus, come in my life. Forgive me of my sins. And God will do the rest. But we want to pray for every one of you. When you leave here today, it doesn't mean you're going to be in your car like a clown. Hallelujah! Joy. Joy is the security, contentment that brings an inspiration of elation from the Holy Spirit that gives you a peace and a mind and a fulfillment of gratitude and love. And that's what joy is. We laugh and do that, get it? But let's pray for that joy this morning. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the fruits of the Spirit, especially joy. I come against every joy killer in the name of Jesus that tries to infiltrate my mind. On this day and forever, I will embrace you, God, through every trial, every tribulation, and I know, God, you'll turn it around for joy in my life to share with my family, with my friends, with everybody I meet. And your joy will shine through me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Give him a big joy praise. Amen. All right, you ready for the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what Nehemiah said to all those worn out men and women who worked hard, got attacked, exhausted. Don't forget what he said first. Eat some sweets, some fat. Sorry, he said that. Eat, be merry. He said, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Give about 6 people a big hug. We love you. Don't forget about the Bibles on the table in the back. And give everybody a big hug, and especially our new friends. Amen.